10:30, we're going to get started. We've got Heidi McDonald coming short. But she could. But basically, all of us here are here because we love comics. We want to get you more exposure. We want to let people know about your projects. And we want to help you with that. I mean, if you work for a big corporation, you can send out, Now is Coming. And yeah. Everyone will post that and have no idea what it is. But if you don't, you got to be a little more creative. You've got to be more inventive. And you got to put together a little bit better proposal. And so we're all going to tell you basically what we're looking for and what it takes to get your stuff out there in front of the public. And you want to start, Rich?
Possibly. Okay. Basically, it comes down to this, because I get about 500 emails a day from people who want me to talk about their stuff. And basically, it's too much sometimes for me to even read, depending on the day. And I've basically come to the conclusion that if it's going to interest me, if you can interest me really quickly, then the odds are you might be able to interest an awful lot of my readers. And that's good. So you kind of have to do that in a headline. And if I see the word press release, I'm probably not going to read it, because I know that this has gone out to 1,000 other people. And they'll probably get to it quicker, and that there feels less of a need. If you can make me feel wanted, if you can make me feel loved, if you can make me feel special, I need you to woo me.
That's a different
point. Can you be bribed?
But it works. If I get an email that says, "Dear Richard, I was just thinking of you, I thought you might like to have a look at this," I'm far more likely to read that than, "Dear comics journalist, or you, or
whatever." Dear sir.
Exactly. Write me an email. If it's been BCC or CC to loads of other people, I'm going to be less interested because I feel less special, less loved, less wanted. If I get an email just to me, I promise you I'm going to read that. Just this morning, I've just gone through a whole bunch of press releases. I've deleted every single one because it just says press release in the headline, and I haven't got time. If it's all the letters to me that I've got, the emails I've got to me, either I have read or I will be reading. That's the number one thing. If you want me to talk about your stuff, is talk to me, not talk to everyone. And I'm much more likely to respond to that. I think that's probably a good way to start.
Yeah. I mean, mostly, what you want to do is you want to get your product out there, and we need some basic information, too. Like, when do you ever plan on publishing it? How much are you going to charge? And it's a visual medium. We need art. And, to see what your project looks like. And a lot of times, we don't get that.
Well, often, sometimes it can be just a few words. Sam Humphries, who's now a successful writer in the comics industry, he self-published a book called Our Love Is Real. And he sent me an email simply saying, "Richard, I've just written a comic book which is basically Judge Dredd having sex with his dog." Now, I was going to read that. I was very interested, but it was just a few words. And on that basis, I basically read it, loved it, ran a whole series of articles based on it, and he seems to have done quite nicely as a result. Sometimes that really interested me, that just got my attention, and it got my attention, and it suddenly got the bleeding cool readers' attention very, very quickly. So the work that you're doing, the work that you're promoting, you need to be a salesman as much as you are a creator. Because if you can sell it to me, then I can sell it to everyone.
Alan, how do you select?
I actually like a little bit more of a description of what am I getting out of this story, in terms of theme, in terms of the kind of conflict that's happening. What Rich said is true. There are definitely grab words that can get my attention. On the other hand, some people use that so carelessly that I don't see the connection, or I just, it sounds like just verbiage to me. Like, no, this is Tron meets, The Big Lebowski. Okay, those are two cool things. I don't know a damn thing about what you're giving me. I need at least a sentence of, this is, an identity story. This is a coming-of-age story, but with da-da-da-da. Just so I know, what kind of atmosphere you're going for. Is this a parody? Is this a satire? Is this a drama? Do you mean it with a straight face when you talk about a vampire love story, or are you making fun of perhaps another successful one? Just give me some basic details, and also be, at the same time, don't don't just give me too much. When you're giving me artwork, give me something that's very evocative of the story. If you're giving me a scene, give me a good scene that lets me see what the characters are about, not just, and here's a scene where someone got decapitated. Okay, that means you're a good artist, but that doesn't tell me if any of the rest of the story is worth a damn.
One of the things that I really like seeing is people who know, who are familiar enough with the kind of stuff I write about. I write for a few different outlets. I do stuff on Huffington Post, and it's either like the huge, like, you know, an Archie character got married to his boyfriend kind of story, or it's comics and politics or things like that. And if you're pitching me a story that fits in that niche, let me know, because if it's tailor-made for the kind of stuff I'm already doing for one outlet, chances are good I'm going to pay attention to it. You know, and there's other sites that I write for that have different sorts of stuff that I write, and just pay attention to who you're emailing or calling or talking to at the con. I think along the lines of what Rich said, you know, just make it personal, but try to make it hyper personal.
Typically, I think when it comes to Diamond, you know, we also try to serve the consumer through PreviewsWorld.com and our previews catalog, obviously, but we have a number of venues to reach news and coverage out to the 3,000 retailers, 4,000 retailers who are going to be buying comics and merchandise and things like that. So we may be looking for a little bit different angle, including more information about why the retailers should be buying your product. And typically we can take those news, and we have a daily e-newsletter that goes out to the retailers and a number of programs that I think can net coverage for small press comics and other people who are looking for that type of coverage. So I would just recommend that you think about, you know, where you are in your ordering cycle, for one, when it comes to the retailers. Know when their date is for when they have to have orders into Diamond. Your information and your coverage should happen before that time. You know, and Diamond has a number of programs where you can provide a 4-page preview of a book and the retailers can go and see it before they order it. You know, there's a number of things that can be done for you to impact your business as long as you are paying attention to the cycle of what they're trying to order and what they're trying to do.
You have to realize if you're going through Diamond, which is the easiest way to get to customers, you've got two customers. The primary customer is the retailer. Because if the retailer doesn't order your product, doesn't matter how many fans want to see it, they'll never get it in their hands.
And that's typically what we see.
And then the secondary consumer is the actual comic book reader. And if the retailer doesn't sell out of the comic that they ordered, they're going to stop ordering. So you do have to service both markets. And yeah. Diamond does have a variety of products for that.
Can I quote?
Yes.
Diamond is less and less the easiest way to get your product out to people. Online is so easy. And then you've got things like, say,
well, online isn't a physical comic. You know,
well,
you're
no, but again,
well, I mean, it's not just about... I don't think he means easiest as in the least effort. It's also like how to get it widespread.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Diamond is still the easiest in that sense. Like, it's going to be the most widespread. It takes a while for websites to get known.
This is true, but a lot of people like, it's how Sam Humphries works, especially for people starting out. I mean, in many ways, Diamond, I think, can be a stumbling block for new comic book talent trying to get their work noticed. Because you're pandering you have to do things to Diamond as opposed to readers, and I think that makes a difference.
Well, we're also telling them to do things for us before they get to readers, so...
Yeah, so
I think it's a bit of a moot point. I'm sorry for that phrasing, by the way. That was terrible phrasing on my part.
Well, Holly, how do you get the product out to the customers, and what do you do with it?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little different. I'm actually a comic book creator, vice president of a creator-owned company, Broadsword Comics, with my husband, Jim Vallant. I say first thing is be polite. It's always good to remember your manners. You know, if you do want to work with somebody, if you want to work with anybody, a blogger or a writer, a critic, Diamond, be polite. You know, it doesn't help if you're like, rawr, 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 I'm snarky and that's cool, but that's one thing. Another thing is think of new ways to connect with your readers. because it's true. You do have to get to the stores, and you do that. But there are so many people out there. There's word of mouth. I create a video trailer for every new issue of Tarot Witch of the Black Rose. And I have music, and it's fun, and it draws in someone who may not know the book. I put it on Facebook. I put it on YouTube. We have our own websites. I have a webcomic that people, I have over 10,000 viewers a day. They see the video. They go, what's this? And just be, innovative, you know? Anything else? What am I missing?
Pretty good.
Be bold. Yeah, do newsletters. You know, GoDaddy.com has an opt-in newsletter where your readers can click on a button, they get in, then every week you have an update, and then that newsletter you can send to one of these lovely people here. Rick, I send you mine.
Yes.
But, you know, I go, Rick, you know, here's my newsletter. Again, yes, be personable, because we are a strange extended family, and we all love comics, whether we write about them or do them or write them, read them.
Chris, how do you pick a project?
No,
what do you want to cover? How do you decide what you want to cover?
Well, that's kind of interesting. Like everyone's been saying, it's important to personalize. Like if someone writes me an email and says, "Hi, Chris," I am far more sort of willing to read that, because it's like, even if you cut and paste the rest of it, you at least cut and paste my name right at the top, and I go, wow, yeah, you know, I feel that bit of specialness.
Spelling is key there, by the way. Yeah.
Two N's in Glenn, and there's an A in McDonald's. So.
Yeah, it is important to spell it right. The other thing I'd suggest is, you don't always have to aim for the big fish. You know, if you think about what your comic project is, chances are it probably isn't going to get picked up by Bleeding Cool or Comic Book Resources or Newsarama or whatever. And even if it does, they have so much to go through, it's going to be on their front page for all of 5 minutes before it's further down. If you can find some of the smaller sites, the bloggers, the people who are really dedicated, they might have an audience of 1,000. But there are probably 1,000 people who, in reading that kind of thing, are going to be more receptive to what you're offering than someone who just wants to know, you know, who the hell is the Phoenix going to inhabit next? You know, if
Superboy Prime.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, you laugh.
And then they're going to punch through a wall and find that Grant Morrison sitting there or something, you know. But it's just important to target some of these smaller ones, because they'll actually give you a voice, they'll listen, be personal with them, because if it's 1,000 people that they're hitting, that could be the right 1,000. And if you look at the numbers that comic books actually sell, I hate to burst the bubble, but you're not going to sell 1 million copies, you're not going to have 1 million readers, not at any... Yeah, I know, I'm sorry, I've shattered everyone, but... You know, a lot of books just sell in the thousands, and that is great and impressive. And if you can get that, then by targeting just these groups of people with an audience of 1,000, you might actually end up doing better than someone who's just trying to hit the front page of one of the big sites every day.
Jesse, what do you pick for the scoop, and how do you go through that?
You know, everybody's touched on personalizing. I think Holly's comment about be polite. It's a stupid thing to have to say. Just because, and I'm a comic creator too, just because we've created something doesn't mean we are owed coverage. Chances are, it's not the best thing that's ever been done. It could be. I'll be happy to read it if it is. But it's probably just another good, entertaining comic. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't act like you're owed that. Don't act like this is the first time somebody sent me a press release. I like your comment about if you're going to cut, you know, get the name right, if you're going to cut and paste the stuff below.
Yeah.
That's cool. One thing I think that I don't think anybody else has mentioned is, as comic book creators, we do a really lousy job of putting, like, our actual faces out there, putting headshots out. Every other business, it's so easy to get a headshot. If it doesn't come with the press release, you send them a question and they send you one right away.
I usually send our wedding pictures.
That's great.
Please explain what you were wearing at your wedding.
I was Slave Leia and my husband was Darth Vader.
And the one thing I would say in terms of sending the description of your project. Road test it, and I don't mean with friends or who can't write and are going to say, oh, that's great. Road test it with people who you respect, who are going to give you critical feedback, and says, yeah, but I don't get what that story's about. It's cool that these guys do this thing. Get it down to a very short, essential description that makes me want to read your longer description. And I think that's really about it. I mean, I'm real open to a lot of different things, but just like everybody else, I get 9 zillion emails a day. You got to grab my attention. The best way to do it is what everybody else has said, plus, try and figure who my readership is. And I think that goes for everybody up here. If they've got individual readerships, and it'll serve you to make sure you're tailoring what you're sending to that audience.
Yeah, everyone has kind of like a different voice to their site and covers something slightly different and has a different audience. Sometimes the same audience just goes from place to place. But, I mean, it's not like we're in direct competition for one reader. We're in actually no competition. Well,
I'm in direct competition for one reader.
Okay. But, there's plenty to go around. And so if you can get someone intrigued in your project, one site may give it more focus than another, and you got to kind of get to know what the sites cover and how they cover the projects. Josh, what do you have?
I wanted to impress the fact on everybody, and it's, like he said, it's one of those things that you really shouldn't have to tell people, but a shocking number of people don't bother with this, is everybody's touched on personalizing your pitch, but also make it as professional as you can. Like you
spell put, check.
As an independent creator, you also have to be an entrepreneur. You have to be, once you get done creating, now you're a marketer. Mm-hmm. And part of that is taking the 2 seconds to hit your spell check and make sure you have like punctuation. Don't send an email like you would send a text to a friend with, you instead of YOU, and if you want to do, press releases and whatnot, you can find templates online and create a professional looking press release. You don't have to have, a marketing department or a budget like some of these bigger companies do. You can do it all yourself and make it look really sharp and kind of trick some of us into thinking that your thing is maybe bigger than it actually is. And I think I speak for everybody up here too, where when I say everybody wants to support the independent, everybody wants to support the small guy, but at the same time, if we get an email that has, that kind of no grammar, no spelling or punctuation, then we're going to just assume that's kind of what your project is like too. And while we all want to support the independent creator, nobody wants to put something that kind of sucks up on their website, because then that's the reputation of the individual sites that we all are part of. So make it as polished as you can, as you would whatever it is you're working on, as you would your comic, and that's going to help you get a lot further and a lot more attention.
Yeah, I'm Heidi McDonald from the Publishing Industry Director. I, of course, agree with every single thing I've ever said on the panel. I mean, personalized. I think it's also important to know really where your strengths lie. I mean, I think if you do have the greatest comic of all time, I think with the internet you are going to get more attention for it. You're a better creator than marketer, then put your effort into creating best whatever. Not the best what you can do, best whatever. But if you're good at marketing, I mean, obviously you should put, use that as a strength. And, I mean, just firstly for my site, I mean, I will run something nobody's ever heard of, or, news from Batman, and it just really depends. Like everybody, I'm very time starved. I would say really make sure you have a good graphic to go with it, because this is a visual medium, and I will flip through it and look at the bottom of my Gmail and see a picture. And if that picture captures my attention, I'm going to flip through at that moment. And otherwise, then it might get washed away in the sea of email. So, make sure you have something that's visually arresting, that is going to, because people who are reading my site and everybody else's site also have a very brief time. So you have to really have something that looks like a box of Tide. It needs to be really something that, so stop in the tracks. So, and also, just a tip, don't ever send out CMYK files.
Oh, yeah.
RGB. I don't check, so they go up and they look on the other end.
I got a comment thanks to one person here who doesn't have to leave that last minute edition.
You don't need one.
Yeah, you can just read it off the shirt. Seriously,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Easier to make
we
our
all
jobs.
Agree with that.
We have craft to do. The more likely you're going to come up, your stuff is going to get covered by our site. If you send us a press release, for example, that has the first paragraph all in caps, we're never going to use it because we will have to retype everything that's in caps for our own particular style guides. Don't do that. If you put in strange bold faces, or if, for example, you decide that you have to put in trademark symbols in after every time your title is named, we have to go in and remove all that stuff. It's very annoying. If you want, if you're capable of giving us an RSS feed, where some of us can sit down and aggregate stuff easily, that's great. On our website, there's actually a form. If you want to submit a story, you can put it directly into our CMS and we can approve it, and it's much more likely because then we don't have to even, you know, cut and paste it from the press release. If it's ready to go, we can do something with it much more efficiently. if you have the capacity to put up your comics from Boom Comics has been punching above their weight for years because they put every week, they have a press list. They have a site where you can sit down and you can download press preview packs. It makes it very, very easy for the rest of us to sit down and do our jobs. Everybody's, you know, has to cover Boom because, you know, it's easy to do.
So I just want to pick up the moment. You said about making the jobs easier.
Yeah,
and it's so true. There's a chap called Sean DeMongrob who's writing for Bleeding Cool right now. Mm-hmm. He's basically become our Kickstarter correspondent. He goes through Kickstarter, finds cool projects, and writes about them. He's got his own Kickstarter projects as well. And the original pitch was, I'll write for Bleeding Cool as long as I can plug the fact that I've got my own Kickstarter project. And I was thinking, yes, you'll write an article for me every week that everyone wants to read. And it'll plug your work. Yes, right. You've just made my job so much easier.
Yes.
If you can find a reason to write for a site and plug your work at the same time, that's the idea. Because basically people will look at your work because it's interesting. It's not just a plug. It's that as well. You're making the site's job. It's a lot easier for them. They've got some nice new content they can run. And it's such an easy way to get work out that way.
Use common sense. I mean, I've had so many people sending me these kind of vague pitches to look at their comic, like, the last 2 weeks. And I mean, don't send it during I feel bad for those guys. Yeah, I mean, I just don't have time to answer my mother.
On that point, time zones are really good as well. If you know where someone lives, that's really handy. Most of the American places, they'll put out press releases between the hours of 9 and 5, depending where they are. I live in England. If you send me something at 9 o'clock in the morning, in my time, I'm going to read it. Because there's nobody else trying to get my attention at the time. If you're trying to get my attention at 9 o'clock in the morning, New York time, you're having to compete with Marvel and DC. So if you can think about, if you can send it out in the evening or really early morning, sometimes you'll get people in a way that you won't get them other times.
Ryan, you had a thing.
When you said about having people writing for your site, and we've had John Ostrander, we've had people are, you know, who are promoting their own stuff, but they're also talking about other things. If you are sending just press releases to us, after a while, we start getting bored because it's kind of like getting cornered by somebody here at the convention and, you know, who only wants to talk about their role-playing campaign. You know, yeah, after a while you sit down and go, yes, fine, you're 12th level paladin, we get it, go on. But if somebody wants to write for our site and on the same time, you know, say, okay, here's what I love about, I don't know, movie theaters in Chicago. Sorry. You know, and here are the great shows I used to watch, you know, here's how I got into comics back then, and here's my top six, whatever, that's great. We're more than happy, you know, at least on ComicFix, we're more than happy to run that sort of stuff and promote you at the same time.
Go
ahead.
Just indirect marketing really works really well. That's how I got into Huffington Post, actually. I kept sending them press releases for a documentary I was working on. And they told me, never in a million years are we going to run a press release, but if you wanted to write an editorial that seemed close to the topic of your documentary, you can talk about your documentary too. And that sort of grew into doing the comics and politics stuff. And every article I write for Huffington Post has a link to my book that I'm selling at the bottom of it. And I run on Big Shiny Robot a column that I literally let the writers and the artists write for me. And it's like, I'll preface it and saying, hey, so-and-so contacted me. They said, I checked out their book, it looks cool, and here's them introducing themselves and their book to you, because they're really easy to do. So writing stuff for people is a fantastic idea.
I got something just a little left of center. I know it'll be surprising. But we're geeks, people who draw comics, and I have things that I really love, not only comic related, but like Star Wars and stuff like that. But here's an example of something that I did that may or may not get me noticed or coverage, but I purchased some Fred Perry outfits, which is a label that one of my favorite band members wears, and unknowingly I drew one of my characters wearing the outfit all the time. And when I was returning the trousers that were too small, I put in my comic book, and I put a little post-it said, look what he's wearing. And I saw on their website, they cover lots of pop culture bands and stuff, and it's like, cross my fingers, maybe School Bites will be up there. You don't know, you know, it was just friendly. I returned the trousers, I got a larger pair. And maybe they'll, you know, put it on their website, and some other ska lovers will see, hey, that guy's wearing a shirt and it looks cool, and he might be something I want to read about. So it's just something a little different. Or like the Star Wars sites, you know, send in our wedding video, and then they'll talk about our comics a little bit. So, I mean, pursue your passions, not only your project, but the things that inspired you to do that project, whether it was fashion or music. I mean, I'm actually working for a band because I sent my art and stuff like that. Fashion, food, whatever. I'm jet lagged, so if I repeat myself, I'm sorry. But yeah.
A lot of people send this Kickstarter stuff too, and that really has to be personalized, because a lot of the Kickstarter stuff never gets funded.
Really?
And so I would say most of the Kickstarter stuff never gets funded.
Aww.
So they don't reach their goal and it doesn't get funded. So, I mean, usually if someone sends, if I've ever done anything with someone ever, and they send me a personal note, look, I've got a Kickstarter campaign, can you cover this? Without a doubt, I'm more than happy to cover it for someone I know. In other cases, we'll have someone say, look, I can't get any coverage on my Kickstarter campaign, and they don't know me. But, you know, they send me some art, and they tell me how wonderful it is, and they explain to me how wonderful it is. You know, that works too, because I'll look at it and I'll say, you know, that might actually turn into something. That looks like something that I would enjoy reading, and so I'll do it, because, you know, it's real hard to do something that isn't coming out through Diamond and you tell your readers to get all excited about it and it doesn't show. You know, or they have a Kickstarter campaign and it doesn't get funded and then they try again or they do something else and the project comes out 6 years later and you know, you can't really say to your readers, well, you know, remember when we talked about this 6 years ago? Although that happens.
I wanted to follow up on what Holly was talking about, and it relates back to the putting on the marketing hat, because a lot of people think, you know, I'll write a press release or whatever, and it sounds kind of, you know, stodgy and boring or whatnot. But you can be creative with the type of marketing that you do to get the word out. I worked on marketing for a horror web series called Chopper, and what we did was it was about this creature that had come back and was beheading people. So we made fake police reports from a template from an actual police report with a grisly, gnarly-looking crime scene photo of several decapitated celebrities. And put them out on Twitter and tweeted them to the people that were killed in the police report and their fans, and it picked up traction like crazy. Really well. People started forwarding it to everybody. So.
Plus, you killed Kevin Smith, which is always a good thing.
Detailed police report of everything that happened, so you can be creative. The same creative hat you use to make your project, you put that on to figure out a creative, fun way to make it fun for yourself,
right,
as well as for us, to go ahead and get word out about it.
Yeah.
Coming back to the idea of Kickstarter and stuff like that, as far as kind of getting attention, if that's what you're doing, I don't know who said it, but a little while ago there was kind of a controversial statement where someone was saying, I don't want to fund your Kickstarter to essentially pay you to start working on a project if I don't know who you are. I want to pay, you know, to sort of get it out there. So I really like when people have actually done things in advance, because we don't know who you are. So if, you know, you send me an email and it's like, oh great, Bob Blank's working on a project. I don't know who you are. You know, if you're Mark Wade, you can be like, I'm doing something and I'm a bad man. But you guys can't do that to us. You know, I'm interested if you're doing something, but I just don't want to hear about it yet. I want to see something. So if you're doing a Kickstarter, send me a PDF of what it is. You know, I'm not going to go out there and pirate it and put it out there. It's for my information to be able to sort of write something up about it. If I like it, I'm going to push it. Same if you're just doing a general book. You're going to print it, you're going to put it out as a web thing, whatever. Just send a PDF. I get lots of emails from people saying, hey, can I send you something? And I actually, for me at least, I would have preferred that you just send it the first time around, and then I have the option to read it or not. But if you say, can I send you something, I've then got to write back and be like, yeah, sure you can. Or somehow it gets lost in the mix and you think I'm just a rude bugger, and I'm not really. But I think it's better to send something out.
But along with that...
One more thing that you said about being polite. Don't mail us PDFs if we haven't asked for them in advance. Because if you try to download, oh, I don't know, a 15 megabyte PDF on your iPhone when you're not expecting it, it gets really annoying very quickly. Send us links to where the PDFs are. Send us small JPEGs. Again, if somebody sends you a 4 megabyte CMYK file, we're really not going to be able to dispose to you. So, you know, everybody can use Dropbox or Google Drive now. You can just pop up there. I'm actually with Chris. Just send it. You know, we've got nothing to lose by sending it. It's free email. One other thing, also, just about, I mean, for even if you have your series running already, you know, if it's been going for a while, I mean, that other thing that you're talking about with the, with the police report, I mean, that's a great way. I mean, if I get somebody who sends me, like, you know, look, I drew a map of the world of my comic, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I can put up the map, you know, it's kind of add content, you know, like some of those little bonuses and stuff. I mean, like, it's easy for me, again, to kind of say, oh, look, we put this up there, and, you know, and it's a good way to get attention, to kind of to add those bonuses and make good attention.
Yeah, we had someone doing a story called Stereotypical Freaks. And then they sent us a bookmark that they're going to put out. And it was done by Jim Ford, who'd done a lot of band posters. And so that was just kind of cool. And they just sent it to me just to show it to me, and we put it up because I thought, well, I think that's kind of cool. Someone else is too. You know, and so, you know, you just kind of think outside the box. Everyone's trying to do the same thing. But try and make yours stand out, your project stand out. And I think that if it stands out to us, it'll stand out to our readers and stand out to your readers.
I got an email a while back where someone basically said, I have this great comic in the works, blah, 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 ask for further information. So I replied back, no. Because really, what the hell? Like, you know, we invite creativity, we invite innovation. Don't be taking this weird, mysterious track where I have to make the effort on the chance that you actually have a good product, but you're not willing to even show me that you do.
One other thing that kind of ties into this, and this goes back into the personalization, if you can personalize some of the information that goes out to each of us, we're more likely to cover it, just because we have something that's exclusive. So, for example, if Rich has one exclusive sketch and of some project, and Heidi has another, and I have a third, we're all likely to run it because we all have a different take on it. We just did something for this this movie that just came out, The Amazing Spider-Man. Maybe you've heard of it.
No.
No? Okay. It's not bad. But we got this package from what was basically a viral marketing campaign, and there was little codes on there that were unique. So when we put it up on our website, all of a sudden a whole bunch of other people who were trying to find out additional information about the movie came and did this, and it ended up being only a free ticket term. So, you know, if you can come up with something that is unique for each individual site that you're sending it to, each individual site is much more likely to cover it.
And
on,
when
yeah, sure.
Also, when someone does take the time to pick up your press release or to help you out in marketing, then support them. If they finish their podcast or write an article, put a link on your Facebook and, you know, send out emails. So it helps get them traffic at their, you know, website of people who already are dedicated to your project.
Being active on social media with, well, I don't know about anybody else on here, but me specifically, like, if I see that you're, like, tweeting out my stories or retweeting my stuff or interacting with me or asking me questions on social media like Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and then you tweet at me saying, hey, can I send you some info about a project, and I see that you've had this history of, like, checking my stuff out and know who the hell I am, then I'm more likely to read your email.
Can I also suggest insulting people? I know people talk about being polite earlier. there was one guy on Twitter who basically used to be really insulted about everything I used to write on Bleeding Cool, how awful it was, how disgusting it was.
I'm sorry.
Of course, I'm a shallow man. I'm a shallow individual. I want to see who this person is, why he's saying all this stuff. So I on Twitter, I find his website, he's got a comic book. I'm thinking, if I promoted this comic book, that might screw with his head. So I did. And it screwed with his head. He stopped insulting me. He got a nice big plug for his comic book. He's very happy about it. So, yeah, you can get to people through all sorts of ways.
Go for revenge, kids. It works.
But also, if you don't get any response, that probably means that we didn't notice you.
Yeah.
Not intentionally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't be a dick.
No, I get 300 emails a day, literally. I spend more time deleting emails than I do reading emails. Rich was saying he gets 500 emails a day.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sometimes we accidentally delete your email while we're getting rid of the, you know, all the junk email and the trash and the things that we've gotten three copies of. And, yes?
What would be the subject line that would get you to open an email in the first place?
Here's a naked picture of me.
No, it might not work.
Let's clarify how we stand.
Take another look at the audience.
I got open mind.
Hi, Rich. I've got a story for you. I can never not read that.
Yeah, no, a name in the subject line could help. But again, if for some reason, you know, even if you think you have a great subject line and we just didn't get to it, just try again. Don't send another email that's like, hey, you didn't respond to my first email. Okay, immediately you come off defensive and now I don't want to read this email. Just send another one, and, you know, maybe I got to the first email, maybe this one looks more professional, maybe I just missed the first email, whatever. Something easily could have happened. Just send another one. I mean, first look over the first email you sent. Maybe there was a reason we didn't respond. Maybe going back to the misspellings or just bad form of writing. So just send a slightly different one. So also we know if we did see the first email for some reason, or we remember it, or for some reason we didn't respond. When we see the second email, it's not like you just cut and pasted it. We know that you took a little bit of effort.
There's a difference between resending something to us that maybe we missed and spamming us.
But yes.
every day, and look at this, because that's just not.
Yeah.
But also, anytime you've been covered for a previous project, keep track of who you talk to. And when you work on your next project, it's easier to get coverage from someone who's ever covered you before. You know, if you send them a note saying, you know, last year we talked about this project, and now I've got this coming out, you say, oh, cool. Well, you know, it gives you a familiarity with the people you're working with. It makes you feel good that they appreciated what you did with them last year, and, you know, or last month. I mean, sometimes, you know, you cover someone every month if they got something really good going on. You know, but just you gotta build a network of relationships, mm-hmm. and use those relationships to get continuous coverage.
And just to kind of follow up on something someone said earlier, and, like, getting those kind of relationships, it is really great to work with smaller sites. You know, like, get someone, like make friends who are working. You don't have to be friends with Jordan Weiland, but make friends with somebody who's a stringer from CPR. You know, get somebody on your side who has access to all this stuff. And then, you know, like, we trust those people. You know, so when I see that somebody I trust is writing about your project, then
don't underestimate that, like, it doesn't matter how small the audience is. What is the time it takes to send an email to a single blogger who has 10 readers? That's a few minutes worth of work. Even if they've only got 10 readers, those 10 readers are probably really loyal. Don't scoff at the size of the audience you might be able to attract, because, you know, worst case scenario, even if they give you a great quote for your piece and they're this small, when you use that on your next bit of marketing and say, hey, so-and-so said this great thing, it's still a great thing somebody said about it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't look down on it if they're a site that's really small.
We've got 15 minutes. I'd like to take questions if anyone has questions.
If you have questions, can you go to the mic? Is this being recorded?
Okay. Sure, go ahead. Oh, hold on one second. You've got to turn around.
Yeah. This is very technical.
Yes.
There's like the mic and everything.
Wait, is it actually technical?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as I'm sure will thoroughly surprise the surprise.
Raise the mic a little bit.
As I'm sure will surprise the friend there, I have a couple questions. I'm watching Webster Big and Small, and it sounds to me a lot of you guys sound like you're talking mostly about comic books. Now, are you less willing to talk about Webster since I'm really your brother seems to be doing the Webster these days?
Absolutely.
No. Webster's are all safe.
Left trip. Yeah. They're easier to find out if they're good or not because I can go look at one really quick.
Also, I don't have to scan any artwork in. It's there, so I can just put it on the site. Easy.
Well, I mean, since it's only just launching, so I can send you the press release and all that, you can talk about the advanced copies of some of the strips artwork and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Might be different. The methodology remains the same. Make it as interesting as you can to us, then whether it's in web form or book form, check it out.
At least in the case of a webcomic, you might also just want to do at least a soft launch so that you have, say, 2 weeks of strips up on your site already so that, and then when we get the press release, we go, oh, okay, we're not coming in just on the first day. There's stuff, there's a story here. We can see some of what's going on.
I guess it depends because, I mean, you do have a following and not everyone does.
Right.
And so, you can put out a press release that my site is launching on Thursday. If on Monday, if you send it to us and you talk to us and you send us some artwork, you might be able to do a hard launch on Thursday. But yeah, it's definitely correct. If you're just starting out and this is the first anyone's ever heard of you, it might help to have like a week's worth of stuff up or a month's worth of stuff up for people to look at.
Even if you don't.
How far in advance you want to go?
The farther the better.
A few weeks at least.
Yeah.
But I forget it, so remind me right
before
I
go ahead. I just want to say, when you're setting up something like that, even if you can create a part of the site that, the average person isn't going to be able to find, but where we can read, say, the first, few strips, that would be really handy as well. I had one guy who gave me a CD just with sort of the first two full chapters of his webcomic that hasn't yet started being released, but because he gave it to me, I was able to read it and plug it in advance, and I had a really informed opinion on it rather than just being, oh, this kind of looks cool.
I would work it in,
yeah,
into the middle of it, because if you put it at the bottom, chances are anything that we might quote out of your thing will strip your bio out completely. No offense, but if you don't work it into the body of it, if you said something, we'll go back and forth and ask you some questions, and we'll take some pieces out, but all that little information at the bottom of who's what and who did what, that never makes it anyway.
I have a question. Does it come down to personal preference as to whether you want to link to Dropbox, or are there some of you that would actually prefer to have 3 or 4 page PDF?
It's a matter of size, I think, more than anything else. If you can send it to yourself and you can open it on your iPhone relatively quickly, we're happy with it no matter what you send. And if we can't open it within 30 seconds to a minute, yet we need a link or something like that, because 9 times out of 10, we'll see it on our phone before we ever see it on the PC. And if it jams up our phone and we can't get mail from anyone else who's also sending us mail, we're not so happy.
Hi, my name's Henry Chamberlain, and I have a blog site called Comics Grinder. That actually is something that for people who are just creators and they don't want to blog, they can send something to me. Or people that have any news on it, they can send it to me. I have a smaller blog than any of you guys, because I totally expect that. I'm just so happy to be here at your company. I have a quick question. It's an open-ended question. In my case, I've just done it now. I've drawn the comics and reviews, and I haven't really thought about it. Oh, I've had an urgency. I've just done it, and it's naturally come together. And I'm taking things to a higher level. So what would you advise people? What level of intensity should they pursue their efforts? Should they just not...
Complete intensity!
Well, you stop.
It depends what you want to do.
No, seriously. That's what you're supposed to do. If you aren't out there, you know... I'm going to quote Neil Adams of all people, but saying if you aren't out there trying to grab people, if you're out there and people are bored by what you're doing, why should I bother coming by? You go at this with as much intensity as gusto, and most importantly, a point of view.
No one will believe in you more than you do.
And
except your mom.
If you're really excited about it, even if we don't know what it is, we're more likely to be excited about it. Yes. So.
Well, I was thinking about the sense of entitlement.
Oh, yeah. Every day you should do something. Every day I wake up and the first hour of my day is either updating my Facebook, tweeting, doing a newsletter, thinking about, you know, anything new that I can do to get one more reader. And you're spreading, I mean, the way I think is you're spreading happiness, you're spreading entertainment, you're trying to alleviate a lot of crappy stuff that's going on in the world, or freak them out. That's just for you, Rich.
Yeah. It's the lovers, the dreamers, and you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just was wondering, do you all have an ideal time that you would like a PDF of printed, or a PDF of a completed graphic novel? How much time before the official release date is your ideal to receive a PDF link to
that? Diamond's going to have a different answer than this than we are, obviously.
Yeah, right. For me, it would be about a month, because that gives me time to read it over twice, at least.
It depends, yeah. If it's a graphic novel, we need more time, obviously, than it's a 20-page story. You know, but enough time that we can read it and actually form an opinion. Yeah.
Or in some cases, assign it to a particular reviewer who fits in this wheelhouse. You know, there's some
right.
You know, I don't want to read a romance comic, but I've got people who do. I don't right. want to read you, so on and so forth.
Don't send me zombies. Send me time travel.
We need a minimum of 6 weeks. So we work way far ahead. But, you know, I think that's kind of a good guideline in general. 6 weeks, 4 weeks.
There you go.
If it's already gone to press, you should already have a PDF of it anyway.
Yeah.
So if, and it's going to take a month for it to come back from press anyway. So, yeah, start at that point.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for you guys. If you're a writer on a TV series, and you put that, and you also have a graphic novel, and you put the show you work on in the subject line, does it make it more likely that someone is going to cover it, or is there a reluctance to deal with people who work in Hollywood who also do graphic novels?
No. More likely.
Yeah, it's
more likely. It needs to be people that end the quote on the headline and get picked up by people searching. Yeah, more likely.
Yeah, if someone's seen that show and it's had some airtime, or if this movie's been out, then that frankly helps us, because when we write the piece, we're going to have more readers saying, oh, what's this post up about? What? Also, frankly, all of us, I think in general, like creators who stretch their wings a little bit and do other genres or other projects and all, you know. Joss Whedon was doing Buffy, and when it's like, hey, he's on Avengers, oh, interesting. I knew Holly initially from Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, when she was doing School Bites, which is a very different atmosphere and is more younger readers. I immediately perked up. It's like, I have not seen this style from her before. Yes.
And also, just from the sheer point of view of just being completely mercenary about this,
mention the TV show in the article, and we get a whole bunch of extra search engine traffic that we wouldn't get otherwise.
Right.
So just from that point of view alone, we'll include it in there.
I was just wondering, because I've done that, and I haven't, I've gotten a lot of press outside of the comics, but I haven't gotten a lot of press with the comic, like the comics community. You know?
That could just be bad luck so far.
Luckily, well, you've got a whole group of people here who can contact me on the panel who would be happy to talk to you.
You have a point that there are some people who will take against the fact that, oh, here comes the TV, Hollywood movies, they're coming to our comics, they're taking away. However, that means the reaction they give. A lot of the time, people are actually grateful. Or that a lot of people think comic books are a lower medium, even people who like it themselves. So if we get attention from a medium that has more money spent on it, sometimes we feel flattered. We may not admit that, but a lot of people will be flattered by that, and they will want to know more. So I'm much more likely to cover that kind of stuff. But that's not just Hollywood or TV media. It can be anything. If you're selling certain comics and you do other stuff as well, well, telling me that means that I might be able to get more people interested in the comic book you're doing. So that gives me another reason to cover you. Basically, giving me your resume, just don't have to tell me the whole thing, but just give me a few ideas. That can often help me. Say, yeah, I better get this guy on the site as quickly as possible.
Yeah, last year we were pitched by Annie Automatic, who was here at the con, and they were releasing their first album, and they released a comic to go with it. And they were signing a comic, and the cross-genre thing is kind of fun to do, just because it's fun to do. You know, just it's different.
Hi, so if we wanted to include like a little peek of the art that we're doing.
Yes.
I know you mentioned you don't want to be like, you don't want a huge file size, but is there like an acceptable file size to drop something in an email that's not going to drive you crazy, but also give you, a vision?
600 by 900 pixels is generally a good rule of thumb. Yeah. 550.
I do 556.
Make sure it's a JPEG. It's
RGB.
Yeah, JPEG.
JPEG under Meg?
Yeah.
Also 72 point. 3 to 5 pages, and everyone's happy.
Right.
That fits in everyone's email.
3 to 5 pages is key. Do not send 22 JPEGs. That's going directly to the trash.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I should say, if you have more than one page, it doesn't matter as a PDF, but keep the resolution low. But, like I said, one little JPEG with a really great image that you feel confident in is best for
what the
but if you're, doing, if you're sending us a preview, specifically something that we can run on our site that we can distribute to other people, it'd be 3 to 5 pages.
I don't know how these numbers, actually. PDFs are again, making my job easier. If you send me a PDF that you want me to run on Bleeding Cool, I can just slap that on issue within 2 minutes, I put it up there, it make my job so much easier.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, send an image and then links to the rest of the stuff, the PDF, the other JPEGs, the other pages, whatever.
I mean, anything you host on your site, you can zip and just send us a link to it, and we can download anything you want. I mean, even little free sites give you a space to upload a zip, and it's easy enough to just send a press link. So and so, write your letter, to talk to us and let us know what you want. And if you want to see this, just click here. And Zip 7's free. There are a million free websites. It's easy to get the stuff across. Okay. It appears that we're running out of time.
Hey, you guys are late.
Does anyone have a
question? Hey, yeah. Hey, you want to know all the good stuff.
What were you asking?
Does anyone have any last questions before we go? All right, well, thank you all for coming.